Grace and peace to you from the one who was dead but lives forevermore. Amen. You know, no matter how many times we encounter death, it never feels natural. It never feels right. Death always feels wrong. Something inside of us finds it hard to accept that our loved one is really dead while the rest of life goes on. When someone that we love dies, it's hard to accept that we will never hear their voice again, or look into their eyes, or hold their hand, or seek their wisdom, or experience their humor and laughter ever again. Grief counselors can talk till they're blue in the face about how death is simply part of the cycle of life. They can try to convince us that we should embrace death as something normal and natural, but they never will. Because the voice of conscience down deep inside of us tells us that death is not natural. It's only an assumption that death is natural and the natural end to life, since everyone dies. And yet, my friends, death is highly abnormal. It's awful. It is man's greatest enemy. It's not what our loving Creator intended for us when He created us. And no matter who may try to tell us otherwise, our conscience resonates to the biblical truth that death is the highly unnatural result of sin. You see, life did not originate with the concept that there would even be an end to our bodily existence. It's frightening. It's extremely unnatural for the body and the soul to be ripped apart and severed in death. And this is why death is so disturbing, and it's even hard for us Christians to accept. Mary did not accept death. Oh, she had no doubt that her Lord, her teacher, was dead. She had witnessed the horrors of the crucifixion up close. Standing beside his mother underneath the cross, Mary Magdalene had witnessed everything. Asking his father to forgive those who had done this to him, she then heard Jesus commit himself and his soul to God and then drop his head and stop breathing. She had seen life leave Jesus. Mary then saw a Roman soldier spear Jesus after he was already dead. The spear went in between his rib cage and up into his heart, just for good measure to ensure that he was dead. Not long after Mary had witnessed the objectionable sight of seeing soldiers climb up on ladders and pull the long metal spikes out of both wood and flesh, she had seen them take his limp body down from the cross, disrespectingly letting it fall to the ground as if it were a heavy sack of garbage. Mary Magdalene, along with Jesus' mother Mary and others, had then rushed to him and mourned over his lifeless body until it was taken away for burial. Yes, Jesus had died on Friday. Mary had no doubts about it. And yet she still found his death hard to accept. She thought to herself, it just isn't right. It's tragic. He was such a good and godly man. His life should not have ended this way. In fact, she did not understand how a violent death at the hands of evil men could have been part of God's plan for Jesus. For Jesus had been the most merciful, kind, gentle, holy and religious man that Mary had ever met. Now that the Sabbath was over, she went to his tomb. She did not return to the tomb in the hope of the resurrection. She simply wanted to see his body again for the reality of death to sink in and become real to her. But when she arrived at the tomb early on Sunday morning, the large stone had been removed from the entrance and the body was gone. And so she ran to tell Peter and John. Some help they were. They checked out the tomb. They told her she was right, the body was gone. And then they left her. But she remained standing outside of the tomb all alone. Mary did not know what to do. She did not know where to go. And since Jesus was dead, she did not know who to turn to anymore. So she just stood there and started to cry. Not the easy, gentle tears of someone who is merely having an emotional moment or a bad day. But Mary was sobbing, the gut-wrenching, full-voiced cries of someone who is deeply disturbed and distraught by death. For death not only wounds those it takes from us, it also wounds those of us who are left behind. And sometimes it wounds us so badly we think that it's going to kill us too. That's how Mary felt. She felt like her life was over as she sobbed and looked into the tomb one last time. But something was different this time. The tomb was no longer empty. There were angels inside, clothed in white. One was sitting where the Lord's head had been, the other where his feet had been. And instead of Mary being startled by the angels were startled by Mary. At least they were startled by her reaction. They seem a bit taken back by her inconsolable grief on this, the most joyous morning ever since the dawn of creation. From their perspective, Jesus had conquered death, just like he said he would. They assume she knew this, and so they ask, "Woman, why are you crying?" It was such a given that she didn't bother to say, "Because my Lord is dead." Instead, her answer was, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have put him." Not knowing the location of his body was tearing her up. His death was horrible enough, but now this? How could she face tomorrow without his wisdom and guidance? How could she face tomorrow without closure? How could she and the others who had loved him and who had followed him and had put their faith in him face the rest of their lives without him? Mary had been so certain that this Jesus was the one that God had sent from heaven to help her people. But now this. Mary's grief was of such a magnitude that even having a conversation with angels doesn't seem to faze her. Everything surrounding his death and his disappearance seems so unnatural to her that she doesn't even stop to consider her recent encounter with the supernatural. So she turns around and she exits the tomb and she almost runs into the one who has never been far from her in her grief. And he too gently inquires, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who is it you are looking for?" Hope rises in Mary's heart, but it's not what you think. Mary mistakes Jesus for the gardener. Her hope is that perhaps this groundskeeper knows who removed the body. "Sir," she cries, "if you have carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will go get him." You just have to wonder, was it her tears that blinded Mary on that morning, preventing her from seeing the reality of the resurrection? Was it her inconsolable grief that kept her from recognizing the resurrected Jesus? Did watching him die such a definitive death play tricks with her mind so that she could not identify the one who was standing before her asking these questions? Or was Jesus' glorified appearance really all that different? Or was Mary's own unbelief what got in the way of her recognizing Jesus? We'll never know. What we do know is that everything changed when Jesus spoke one single word to her. He called out her name, Mary. And by the power of his spoken word, immediately she recognizes him. Jesus had often told Mary and the others who followed him, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." And now it was proven true. For although she had not recognized him to this point, it was the sound of his voice speaking her name that made Mary's heart skip a beat, and joy washed over her. She recognized his reassuring voice when he said her name. "Rabboni," she cried, "my teacher." And she bowed to Jesus, and she clung to his feet tightly as if she would never let him out of her sight again. Beyond all hope, beyond her wildest dreams, here was her Jesus, alive. Not a ghost, not a spirit, not the product of wishful thinking, but here was the same flesh and blood man who she had watched so violently die. Her Jesus, with his wounds yet visible, yet transfigured in glory, was alive. And the tears began to flow again. But this time, there were no sobs of despair. But these were tears of extreme relief and profound joy that were running down her cheeks. And the joy of this day was only the beginning for all who fear dying and who will one day face death. For in Jesus, life and death had competed for dominance. And by his resurrection, the victory remained with life. Death's long reign of terror had ended. And the Lord asked Mary to carry that message to the disciples, that he was forever alive and has defeated death for us. This was important work that Jesus had asked Mary to do, and that's why he says to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to my Father." Jesus isn't being cold here to Mary, as it might sound to us. But he is speaking from a sense of urgency. He is telling Mary this: "Go quickly, for you will have other opportunities to see me and touch me before I ascend to my Father. But right now, Mary, this is more important. Go and tell my brothers that I am alive, and I will soon be returning to heaven." Jesus wanted his friends to know that death was not the end of him or of his story, nor was it the the end, nor would it be the end of Mary and his disciples, nor will it be the end of you. Faith in our risen Lord Jesus changes forever how we live, how we grieve, and how we die. Oh, sure, we still feel it in our bones. We feel how wrong death is and how unnatural. And we hate with a passion to leave our loved ones behind. And yet our Lord Jesus has made death something that we need never fear again. For death is not the end. Thanks to this day, we have new an unending life with God to look forward to, along with strong and healthy resurrected bodies. For by his death and resurrection, Jesus wounded death itself. He dealt death a death blow from which it will never recover. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, give you great joy and hope as you look forward to the resurrection. He is risen indeed. Amen.